la cumbia de la
Take it away.
Välkomna allihopa till Building Bridges. I'm Sebi.
And I'm Dave.
And this is a Eurovision podcast for the rest of us. So today, as you can hear from the intro already, we're building a bridge to Sweden. But we are also building another bridge to a certain country that has chosen the first entry of Eurovision 2025. It is official. We are building a bridge to Montenegro first. And we talk about Clickbait by Neon Neon, something like that.
I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing. Think so. Yeah, I unfortunately, given the time difference, I was working last night and missed the show. I actually turned on Montesong just as the 16th song was ending. So all I got to see were the little recaps. I didn't really, yeah. It's unfortunate, but I mean, it is what it is. Hopefully this weekend I'll catch up and go back and watch them. But yeah, we'll have to pay attention to how the name is pronounced in case we see them in Basel. Yeah.
For me, it was the other... We will see it in Basel, for sure.
Yeah.
But for me, it was the other way around. I only watched, like, the first half of the show, like, the first 10 songs, maybe, and then I had to go to sleep because I work mornings right now, which is not fun. But, yeah, we have to take some risks in life. Anyway, I thought the show overall, like, the production was really good, especially given Montenegro is not very consistent in Eurovision. And I'm pretty pleased with the song that won. It's something different for sure. It's in native language, which is always a plus. And it's kind of rockish. I actually liked the other rock song a little bit more, the one that won the televoting, but did really poorly with the juries.
I'll find that out because you know where I can find that information. On our website, shameless plug for buildingbridgespod.com, we have an article with all the results from last night, so I can tell you very shortly now who that was and how many points and everything.
Yeah.
You're talking about the winner of the televote?
Yes, yes, that's right.
Barjak?
Yeah. And yeah, I think Neon, they were second with both.
Yes.
And I was... sure, 100% sure that Nina Sisic wouldn't win, just because it's too, you know, a bit too perfect in a way, but a bit too cliche, you know, the fan favorite and the returning artist, and I think the song was just, it was good, but not enough.
So she did what? She was a backing vocalist in 2013 with Igranka?
Well, she was the female front singer of...
Oh, that's her. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
I just assumed that whoever that was part of the group.
I was pretty sure when I saw the show that Tamara would win because it looked a bit like, you know, the typical Albanian, like the thick winning entries. And the staging was pretty good. And then she did okay with the juries. And then she was like not even in the top 10 with a televote. So, yeah. I was wrong about that, but I'm pretty pleased. It's not a typical cliche Balkan ballad that won, and it's good to have some diversity. This will add diversity in the Eurovision lineup for sure.
And they have 6 months. Six months to prepare, to do a revamp, to do whatever they want with this. So, I mean, there is hope. A lot of people were shitting on Montesong and all the songs online and complaining. We had some comments on our Facebook group too. A lot very positive actually, but a few that were negative as well. It seems kind of divisive. But Montenegro has only qualified for the final twice in their history, and these songs weren't all bad. They really weren't. And again, they've got time, and they can come up with some good staging, revamp the song. I mean,
I'm not saying
they're out for sure.
No, definitely not. And I think, you know, Montenegro just got unlucky a few times. Like Husi, Igranka, they were fourth in the televote in their semi, and the juries made them fail to qualify. So yeah, that's it. But yeah, overall, I'm pretty pleased. And yeah, it's exciting to have the first song of Eurovision 2025. The My Eurovision scoreboard app is going crazy. And,
and can we have a shout out for a second for Georgia, who we got to interview? Lovely Georgia, who finished fourth.
Yeah, she was...
Дечек даріз нам, з тобою сам сретна і воля.
And she was third in the televote. So people, if the juries would have had, you know, better taste, she could have won the whole thing. But yeah, she did really well. And yeah, I was really, I don't want to say proud, because, you know, we just had that one interview with her. But yeah, it was nice to see her doing so well. And yeah, I think that's all we have to say about Montenegro so far.
Yeah, there's not much to say other than, yeah, it was a good show. Unfortunately, neither of us really speak the language, so we can't really comment on how the show went otherwise. It was nice to see Sergei back to sing, what was his song in 2014?
Oh, Moj Svijet.
Yes, Moj Svijet. Yeah. He did a beautiful version of that. Emily DeForest came out of nowhere and sang her winning song, Only Teardrops, and then immediately was forgotten about. They didn't talk to her afterwards, nothing. She just came out, sang.
But she wasn't a jury, right?
And then she went away. Yeah, yeah. And then what randomly popped up on the jury.
Yeah.
Gave some points.
Yeah, they were more. Vladana was a part host, and then Daniel Popovic was singing Julie as the opening. So yeah, it was quite a few.
I missed that.
Like, all-stars. But yeah, speaking of all-stars, the national final with the most stars, with the most returning artist, has announced its artists. Of course, I'm talking about Melodifestivalen. This year, it's not that many returning artists overall, which I think is good. It's good to see some new faces and not just the same 10 people. Like, sometimes I think 2021 was a final, and like 6 of the 12 already won Melodifestivalen, and then the other 4 or 5 had taken part already.
Yes, so there's good and bad here. So we'll go through the acts now, who are of course set to compete in each semi for Melfest 25. We'll look at who's back, who's new, what we might expect in this year's competition. For instance, we'll find out who's back for their 11th appearance. One of them who turned the letters on France's version of Wheel of Fortune. Somebody in the mix actually somehow got Laureen to write their song. I don't know how. And we even have a former Melfest host who will be on the show, I guess, as an artist for the first time. So there's lots to talk about. And to your point, Sebi, yeah, so 13 are back, which means 17 are new.
Which is a lot to be back, but for Melody Festival and standards,
yeah,
like in any other national final, you would say 13 are back. Wow. And he was like, yeah, 13 is not so much.
But even when you say 17 are new, there's a little asterisk there, because even the new ones,
they have their connections.
Yeah, that's the best way. It's kind of like the Swedish Mafia, I guess, and not the Swedish House Mafia. We've got the same songwriters, and I don't know how it happens. They had over 2,700 songs submitted. And of the 30 that were chosen, I mean, Jimmy Joker or Jimmy Joker Turnfeld is there 6 times as a writer. Anders Vertov 6 times. Our King Thomas Gayson is there 5 times. So they're showing up even in these new artists. So even though the artists are new, I guess the feel of the songs, maybe the writing is not exactly overly new.
Yeah, but let's dive into those. And maybe we go heat by heat or deltävling by deltävling. So the first one will take place on the 1st of February in Luleå. And we have, if I'm counting correctly, I think four debuts and then two returning artists. The first one on the list is Linnea Henriksson with Den Känslan. I have not heard about her, and also disclaimer, I'm not that deep into Swedish music that I would know so many outside Swedish singer. Her picture gives me a little bit of like Krista Siegfried's Marry Me, but a little bit, of craziness, Do you have the picture of her with the, hair put up and the huge? Yeah.
So you actually know Linnea because she hosted Melfest in 2020. She was one of the hosts.
Yeah,
She
that's
was the one
right.
that read the points at the very end in the final, very, very quickly and very, very like with no
With
reaction, no,
Dotter and the Mamas, yeah.
she did that one.
Yeah.
So yeah, so she's the one I alluded to earlier that hosted. And
Oh, then we have two hosts.
So she has a cool story because she was supposed to go to Italy and do the commentating for SVT for Eurovision with Edward of Silén, who is the perennial Eurovision writer when it's in Sweden, and he's always commentating. But she got COVID just before she was supposed to go. So Edward went to Torino and commentated the semis, and then they brought him back to Stockholm and they commentated the final together virtually. So she's kind of been in the Eurovision world a bit before, but we haven't seen her as a singer. She has released three albums, so, and she's a former Idol, Swedish Idol contestant. I think she's usually in the jazz genre, so with a song
It could
title
be
called That Feeling,
interesting, yeah.
it could be interesting.
Yeah. I mean, jazz is something we've never heard from Sweden, correct me if I'm wrong, in
On
Eurovision.
Eurovision, no, I don't think
It
it's
would
ever gotten
be.
to the Eurovision stage.
Yeah. Okay, so next we have Meira Omar with Hush Hush. I don't think I've heard of her, but I think I know the songwriters. I mean, look for her.
Yeah, well,
But
there's
she
Anders
co-wrote the
Reithaup
song.
again,
Yeah.
and she's also on the songwriting team there
Yeah.
herself. Again, she's another singer, first time at Melfest, but with an interesting background story. She's actually born in Afghanistan and then moved to Stockholm as a child, and then got famous in India when she went to study there in 2014, where she became an actress and a model, and she's also a famous dancer as well. And I think singing appears to be her newest endeavor, and she released a single called Dive. Back in September, and it kind of mixes Eastern and Western music, so maybe we'll get a bit of the same on stage in February.
Yes, I would hope so. So, and then we have Maya Ivarsson with Kamikaze Life. Interesting title. I think this is gonna be like rock, probably.
Yeah, she is the front
Yeah.
man of a rock group. And but again, look, if you look at the writers, you've got Joy and Linnea Deb, who are Eurovision winners with Hero, and Jimmy's back there again, so rock, but I don't think of Jimmy and Joy and Linnea as rock writers either, so this might be some pop rock
Well, maybe
maybe.
they reinvent themselves for a change. It would be good.
Because that always happens.
Yeah. Okay, and then we have the first returning artist finally, Albin Jonsson, featuring Pa.
Ah, yeah. Two
Pa.
returning artists, actually. Both of them have been to Melfest before, anyway, but never together. So Albin was last there in 2020. This will
Yeah.
be his third Melfest. And Pa has been there three times before as part of one of my favorite Melfest groups, Panetoz. So this is a very unlikely duo, I feel. Like Albin performed before with Rik and Livet Börjar Nu. And of
Yeah,
course, those songs are very not Panetoz songs. So I'm excited to see what kind of collaboration this is going to be. And again, Sebi, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the title "Up in Luften" means up in the air.
Yes, that's right.
So, I don't know what to expect at all.
Yeah, but it sounds very interesting. Panetos was always very, energizing, energetic, and then Albin, I remember more, like a bit more solid, but like a very good singer, very good artist. So yeah, that could be interesting. And then we have an artist we all know, of course. I think he's second right now in the betting odds without the songs released. Jon Lundvik will be performing Voice of the Silent. And I don't know why, but all of his entries, especially the more recent one, they always give me like church gospel vibes, Even the title, Voice of the Silent, it could be something probably, like a gospel choir is singing in church on a
But it's
Sunday.
interesting that my like I don't think Englevakt made it to the final, did it?
Yes, it did.
Oh, did it? Okay, it did.
Yeah.
Right. But neither Englevakt or My Turn did as well. Well, obviously Too Late for Love won. But that's the one of the three that was a bit more upbeat, and that did much better for
Yeah.
him.
Well, my turn was third or something, so maybe. I think my turn is like his usual genre, and then he went a bit out of his way with Too Late for Love. But yeah.
And he's got Tomas Gieson back on the writing team of this one as well. So I feel like it's going to be a power ballad, like an uplifting power ballad again.
Yeah,
Don't know if he's
we're
going to make
never
three
getting
fallouts.
tired of that, of course not.
No. But that's his style. That's his, where he's happy. And I mean, who knows? Maybe he will challenge for the win after all.
Maybe it's possible. And then we have, this is no particular order, by the way, we have Adrian Masseus. Masseus, I don't know. Vår första gang. And another debuting
Which
artist.
means what?
Our first time.
Our first time, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, couldn't find a lot on Adrian. I read in his Wikipedia that he does a lot of the Swedish dubbing for Disney characters. And a
Ooh, but that
weird
speaks for a
link.
good voice because you really need a good voice for that. You cannot hide behind anything.
Right, and a weird link for us because we've lost Jan tonight to some Disney event in Ljubljana. I don't know what Disney is doing in Slovenia, but anyway, that's
Of
why Jan's not
course.
here, by the way. But back to Adrian, he actually signed with Universal Sweden 2 years ago, and he's young. I think he's only 19, about to turn 20. So like that's a huge deal. So he's new, he's fresh, not a lot to say about him, but I think the fact that Universal signed him so young is hopefully a good sign.
Yeah. So overall, what do we think of this lineup?
My guesses are going to obviously be Jon Lundvik and probably Albin Jonsson and Pa to get through. My third, now not knowing anything, if Mayra comes with this East-West kind of mix-mash song.
I think Adrian has quite a chance too, if he's really that good of a singer. But usually the first heat is not the best one, and like just from judging by
No.
this lineup, like they have interesting artists, but then the two or like the most famous one is Jon for sure. And like usually that's the one getting through, and I fear this might be just, another generic ballad that is winning over, a bit more original songs.
And we
So,
don't know the
yeah.
running order, of course, and that would be a huge help because typically the first song and the last song are the ones that get through. So
Yeah.
that would be helpful,
It's
but we
not
don't know that
predictable
yet.
at all, this
No.
competition.
So shall we move on to
Okay.
the Scandinavium?
We shall. I miss it so much in Göteborg, my favorite Swedish city. I should go again soon, but anyway, that's not the topic. The first one I see is Schlagers with Don Juan, and I'm just looking at them. I know it's gonna be fun. This is gonna be like, a bit, I wanna say, not jazzy, but maybe a little bit like funky. Do you remember Suure Tüdrukud in Estonia? The
Oh, of
two
course. Who doesn't
gray-haired
remember Stuba
women.
Duba Poof from
The
Estonia?
two gray-haired women who are the backing singers of everyone.
No, not off the top of my head. No, you'll have to remind me later.
I think this is what the direction this is going, so it's gonna be fun
And
for
I
sure.
couldn't, I've been looking today, I couldn't find anything on them. They don't have a Wikipedia page, obviously. And any Googling, even when you know when you put the quotation marks around the term in Google, it's supposed to only look for that term. It's still giving me like generic just Schlager music. So I can't find them. I don't know who they are. But with a song title called Don Juan, we can guess at what we'll get.
And then we have Nomi Tales or Tales with funniest thing. She looks very young on this picture.
She's another one. I think she's 17 or 16, 16 even turning 17. And just released her debut single like a few weeks ago. So she's like brand new.
When you hear her call from the mountains high, let her sweep you.
So very incredible that she's even made it this far to get picked, you know, at such a young age with not a very big CV. So what you can read from that, I don't know. Maybe that's because she's got an incredible song she's going to go through. It's really hard to say. Or maybe she knows somebody.
Maybe. So then we have another returning artist, of course, Klara Hammarström with On and On and On. And I liked her songs. I wasn't like a huge fan, but I look into the songwriters. You know, Cassiopeia is an incredible songwriter. And I think, you know, maybe this is Klara's time to shine. Who knows? Because she's well established in Sweden, she has the popularity. She just needs the one song that is good enough to stand out between, you know, your Ludwig Mons, etc. And she could do it.
And she is the big name in this heat. I don't think
Yeah, for
anybody else
sure.
here is more famous than she is.
If she's not going to the final, I would be shocked.
Yeah, there'd have to be some horrible mistake on stage or something for that to happen. Like you said, Cassiopeia, Thomas Gayesson is on this. She's also a writer on this herself.
Jimmy Joker, of course.
Yes. No. Yimmy Jansson, this one. A different Yimmy. Yeah. But yeah, the stars seem to be aligning for her here. I thought we were done with Klara Hammarström, but she's back. 3 years in a row, she didn't win, and she's taken 2 years off. And not that she stopped producing music, obviously, but she's back now for the first time since 2022, which is hard to believe. Run to the Hills doesn't seem that old, but there we are, 3 years.
All right, and then we have Khalifa with the song Salute.
Now we've got Jimmy Joker Turnfeld back as writer with Anders Reithoff again.
Yeah, that's all I
Yeah.
can say about this.
Yes, another debut artist. This is Khalifa's first Melfest. He's actually a member of a singing group called Hofmaestro in Sweden, and I believe he's half Ghanaian because I read that he splits his time between Sweden and Ghana. And he usually produces music with his group, obviously, but he has kind of started stepping out and done his some solo stuff for the last few years. So we'll see how he does by himself on the Melfest stage in Gothenburg.
Yes, and then we have Erik Segerstedt with Show Me What Love Is. So, yeah, I remember him from, you know, the like late 2000s era with like Danny Saucedo. I think they were in the same group, you know, with
Yes,
AMD.
EMD. Yeah,
Yeah. And now, you know, he
he's
has.
the E in EMD.
Ah, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I don't know what to think of this yet. I think, you know, he's not been in the spotlight as much as, you know, Danny Saucedo, for example. And yeah, it could be either way, it could be like a huge comeback, or it could be, you know, like he fell asleep a little bit and now he has a nice song.
I'm thinking it's gonna be like this could be another AMD song. This is gonna be another pop banger, big dance number, that type of thing. Lots of pyro, lots of LED lights. and maybe not getting through, but we'll talk about that in a minute.
Okay, and then the last one in this semi is for me the hardest to predict for sure. It's Fredrik Lundman with the heart of a Swedish cowboy.
Yeah.
I mean, starting off, the title stays in your head for sure.
Yep.
This could be either, you know, a joke entry, or it could be like a very serious country song. I don't know in which direction this is going.
I'm expecting this to be actual country. Fredrik is on all his socials as Swedish Cowboy. He refers to himself as the Swedish Cowboy. And he always performs in like the plaid shirt with the cowboy belt and the boots and the cowboy hat. So I think he takes this seriously. We haven't had a whole lot of country at Melfest, and if done well, I think the Swedes will latch onto this and it'll do well. But we've also seen country fail miserably as well. So
of course,
yeah. But again, who's on this as writer? Thomas Geirson. Can Thomas Geirson write country music? We're gonna find out.
Yeah, and Thomas Geirson has written a lot of bad songs over the years too, you know. Just because he has Euphoria in his list doesn't mean he, like, every song is a masterpiece.
No.
So I think, as we said before, Clara is the clear favorite in this lineup. I would actually like to see somebody else, you know, taking the first place just as a surprise, but I think especially in this one, it is so obvious. Like, there's nobody else. You know, I think, like, regular Eurovision fans would only know Clara and nobody else.
I think SVT has given this heat to her. Like, this is their present to her. I'm gonna give the second qualifier to Swedish Cowboy. I'm gonna have faith. I've seen some of his stuff online, and if it's a good song, he sings well. If it's a good song, I think, and it's got a good spot in the running order, he might have a chance to go through.
Yeah, and he probably has, like, a fan base, too, if he's already known as the Swedish Cowboy.
Yeah. Now, I'm not sure. Again, we're not in Sweden. I'm not in Sweden. Neither are you. I don't know how popular he is, but I know that's his persona online, anyway. That's how he presents himself.
All right, heat number three in Västerås. And here we have a few returning artists, actually. Not as many newcomers as in the previous ones. We start with Malou Prytz, who we all know from, I think this is her fourth time already. I remember Ballerina, I Do Me. And yeah, Bananas was maybe not her best showing. But yeah, we have 24K Gold. And I like her songs, and it's a bit, also not the most original songs, but, like, you know, it's usually good pop, and I'm looking forward to it. I'm not expecting too much, but
no, it's another artist I thought was done with Melfest after 2022, but hey, Clara proved me wrong, Malou's proved me wrong, we'll see.
Yeah, and also this heat looks a lot less obvious to me than the previous one.
Yes, we have returners, we're returnees, I guess, but none of, like, no big names. Which we're coming to momentarily. But in this heat, I think even with the returnees, it's still wide open.
Yeah. Then we have Gretsula, I'm not sure, with Believe Me.
He's a pop artist. He's been around for a while. That's his last name, actually, Gretsula. Mm-hmm. He's one of the writers on the song, and yeah, he's usually a mainstream pop guy. So this could be a nice little dancey pop song.
Yeah, and here the songwriters are not the usual suspects. This is what I want to mention. We have him and then Amanda Nordelius and John Russell. This is not, you know, the typical Gearson, Jimmy Joker, etc.
Yes, production. So it could stand out and go through.
Yeah. Then we have another returnee from last year, Annika Wickeholder, who I guess got lucky last year with the weird voting system, where the one from the last heat were, you know, had a bit of an advantage, let's say like this. Yeah, I think her song last year was not outstanding, but her voice was really good. So maybe if the song this year is a bit more better, she could do really well.
It's funny, I've been listening to Light lately, on and off. For some reason, I don't know why. It wasn't my favorite last year. It just kind of pops in my head from time to time now, so I've been listening to it again. And then she gets revealed as, you know, coming back to Melfest this year. The only name besides her own on the writer's list that I remember is Patrick Jean. So that could be a good sign, because he's a good singer anyway. I'm not familiar with him writing as much.
He had Tears Run Dry a few years ago.
Yeah, and I assume he wrote that himself as well. So
yeah.
There's hope.
Yeah.
And again, I'm expecting this to be a big power ballad again, like Light was.
Yes. And then next we have Bjorn Holmgren with Rädda Mig. I'm actually noticing there's very few Swedish songs overall. A lot of
that we can
titles,
tell, like,
a lot of them are English.
Well, Maluprit 24K Gold could be English. You don't know. The artist we're about to talk about has a very weird title. That could be, I mean, the title is a noise. It could be in any language. So,
Yeah, let's talk about Björn for a moment.
Do we have to
here as well? It's not the usual suspects. The songwriters look a bit more, you know, self-made maybe. But also think he is a TikTok star, so maybe that's how he got into this whole thing.
Yes, which again, if he's super famous, could get him some votes as well, so he could surprise.
Yeah. The next one who could surprise is another returnee. It's Angelino with Teardrops. Yeah, I think
I don't remember the end from 2022.
Yeah, I remember the song very vaguely. I remember him. I need you to know you got your doubts, I got my own. But trust me, I am not that unaffected. I think, you know, maybe this is the favorite, I guess. With
certainly, if you look at the writers on the song. Again, we've got Joy and Linnea Deb, who are Eurovision winners. Jimmy Joker Thornfeld, who has written Everything Under the Sun, so he's pretty well established. And a surprise writer who has won Melfest. Remember Tusa from 2021?
Of course.
Of course. Who would forget Tusa?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's back here now as songwriter on Angelino's song Teardrops, so... I don't know. It's a pretty interesting group of people, from the singer to the group of songwriters. I don't know what to expect.
And the last act is also a very interesting group of people.
Oh God!
Because it's the same group name, but it's always like different girls. This is, you always say, you know, I thought this one was done. I never think like individual artists are done, but I thought this project, I'm gonna call it, was done. I think Dolly Style, I thought that was through. But now they're back with Yeehaw. So probably another country song, I guess, ? But shout out to Melanie Weber, who was already a guest on this podcast, who co-wrote the song. But
that's the only good thing about this, I think.
But why does it take seven people to write a Dolly Style song?
That was what I was going to say. How many fucking people does it take to write a stupid bubblegum pop song?
This is going to be like Adrenalina, where like 16 people wrote like 3 minutes.
I mean, my goodness. And like, I can't take them seriously because of the outfits either. And the attitudes they have when they come out.
But they're not meant to be taken seriously. That's the whole point.
No, I know, but it pains me so bad. Like, Hello Honey, I thought, like, if that
Hello, Honey.
If that had been it in 2015, you could look back at Dolly Style and go, oh, yeah, I remember them. But then they
roll. Yeah, and they're always switching out the girls and think we don't notice, you know?
Yeah, because who would want to stay in that group? How would you want to live in those colors for the rest of your life? No. And then we thought they were gone. They come back with a BB in 2019, which was just brutal as well. And here we are, 6 years later, and it's still not over. Maybe they'll pull a San Marino 2022 and bring a bull out on stage, and one of them will get thrown across the stadium in Västerås, and that will end it.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows?
Yeah, my first guess would be Angelino in the semi-final, but that's a very wild guess. Like, all of these are, like, you know,
it's not
on a similar level.
I thought you would have picked Dolly Style.
Yeah, that's the second one, probably. Not.
I agree with Angelino. I think my second would be Annika.
Okay. So the fourth heat is going to take place in a place where we just been like a few months ago in the Malmö Arena. And there we're going to see Kai or Kaj, probably Kai, with Bora Bora Bastu.
Well, like, what was it, EDM or AMD? This is a collection of the letters of the names of the three guys in the group. They're from Finland, but they're from the Swedish part of Finland.
Of course, Bastu.
Yeah, of course. Krista Siegfried's all over again. And they are basically a comedy entertainment group that I guess also does some singing.
Yeah, but I think this looks pretty interesting, you know? Like, Bara Bara Bastu is a nice alliteration, you know? It doesn't work in English, but it's like, you know, like, just like bathe in the sauna now, you know? Just.
Yeah, just get in the sauna.
Yeah.
The translation, yeah.
And yeah, it could go either way. It could be very silly, but like, if it's like fun, but like a good song too, it could go very far. It looks so promising.
There's certainly nothing like them in the other 29 artists. So they have that going for them.
Yes. Then we have Ella Tiritiello with Bara Du Är Där. Yeah, I think another debut artist. But as you pointed out before, there's a very interesting songwriter here.
Yes, we don't know who David Björk is, we don't know who Adam Englund is, but we certainly know who the fuck Loreen is. So Ella, who again is a very, very young, very new artist, she does some singing and acting in Sweden. She has a few singles, not many, and she's only released one this year, and it was a Roxette cover. I guess it got Loreen's attention. I don't know how, but you know, and it's the second song in this heat that starts with the word bara.
True.
Fun fact.
So there's the Swedish songs then.
Yeah.
Okay. The next entry or the next act is Amina with Do Good, Be Better. I cannot say too much about this artist, but like just the picture and everything, it looks very interesting, like very different, you know, a bit oriental, maybe a bit, you know.
Yeah, another
like
another
Middle
artist,
Eastern flavor.
Another artist with a very interesting background. So yeah, Amina is another interesting artist here, as she has a very special backstory, I guess. She actually was born in Yemen, and it appears as though they left Yemen. Her and her family left Yemen under, I guess, some distressing circumstances. They had to flee Yemen and wound up in Sweden. And her bio says that the only thing she was able to take with her from Yemen were her voice and her love for music. And her first single is kind of about that experience. It's called Empty.
Into the unknown.
Reflects when she had to leave home as a child and basically restart her life in a new country. And with the song title Do Good, Be Better, maybe there's some of that, some of her past, you know, in the song this time as well. We'll have to wait and see, but one definitely to keep an eye on, I think.
Yeah, it looks very interesting. But yeah, I'm not so thrilled about this heat because I think the winner of this heat is pretty obvious. It's up next. This is the second Melody Festival and host and winner.
Don't forget that on his list of
So yeah, Måns Zelmerlöw, as everybody already knew, is back with I guess it's Revolution, not Revolution. And yeah, I cannot say I'm thrilled about that. Just, you know, Mons has been everywhere in every Eurovision somehow, and it's getting a little bit tiring, and I really do not think that he can pull a Lorien and like win no. for the second time. So I kind of don't get the point, you know, like when Carlo Perelli or someone is back, you know, it's like fun, you know, mm-hmm. she serves another Schlager after 20 years, but like he won, it's going to be 10 years now. And I don't know if he can reinvent himself this much that people will think, yeah, this is something new. And by that, I don't mean Swedish people. I think he has the best chances to win Melody Festival and right now. But I think, you know, the general Eurovision audience might be a little bit tired of him as well.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and remember in Vienna, he didn't win the televote either. Didn't
exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was the juries that put him over. Yeah, I mean, hands down, the favorite to not only win the heat, but to win the whole thing. So he's the guy to beat this time. I don't know the songwriters. They don't stand out to me. I don't know if you recognize any of them.
David Lindgren, of course.
Oh, yes, that's right. That's right.
Yeah.
And there's a Sebastian there as well. So.
Yeah, Ola Svensson I've heard before. I can't put my name on her right now, but like, yeah, I've heard her before, yeah.
And I've heard in some interviews he said this is kind of like the evolution of Heroes, like 10 years later.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I don't know what that means. It didn't work for, oh my God, what's her name? The one from 2010 that didn't make it to the final.
Anna Bergendahl.
Yes, Anna, poor Anna, with her trio of songs in Melfest.
Yeah.
2018, 19, or whatever. That didn't work for her either, but... We'll see. This is his fourth go at Melfest, and there's not much to say there. It's another waiting game, and to your point again, I'm not anti Mons. If he goes to Eurovision, I wouldn't be upset. But it does take the fun out of this. Like, we pretty much knew last year Marcus and Martinez were going to win, and the year before that we pretty much knew Lorraine was going to win. You know, I'm kind of sick of this now. It would be nice to go into a final and not know who's going to win Melfest.
I just think this heat in general, if Mons wasn't there, it would be so interesting. Like, you wouldn't know who could win it, you know? It would be like a very diverse lineup. Mm-hmm. The next one is Andreas Lundstedt with Vicious. Of course, known as the guy from Alcazar. And yeah, another one who's been on the Eurovision stage before. A part of 641. So yeah, I cannot say I have high hopes for this, but I think it's going to be funny at least. So yeah.
You talk about Mons that hasn't been to Eurovision in 10 years. Andreas hasn't been there in 19. Minus the interval act he did with Alcazar in Malmö this year. But this will be his 11th time stepping foot on Melfest stage. He had a solo career before Alcazar. He was there in 96 and 97. And then all his appearances since have been with Alcazar. The last was in 2014. That was the last time Alcazar was there. So it's been a while. You're right. This should be fun. This should be poppy disco.
Entertaining.
Yes. At the very least, it'll be entertaining. He co-wrote the song with Laurel Barker and Dino. I'm not going to pronounce that. But you might remember Liamo, who was in Melfest last year and a few other times. He's the fourth writer on the song. So, yeah, I'm thinking pop, Schlager, dance, fun.
Yeah. And then the last one in this heat is Tennessee Tears with Yours. They were, of course, in Melfest in 2023 with Now I Know. And I think they were pretty good, you know. They were also like on the countryside, but it wasn't, you know, hardcore country. I would call it was like, you know, country pop. And I think this is gonna be good because also, you know, I think the songwriters here, that's just them, you know. That's no, you know, other songwriters bought from somewhere else. So yeah, it will be authentic to their music and, you know, maybe it will be good enough.
It will be. I mean, it sounds rude. Maybe it is. Their 2023 entry kind of bored me a little bit. So I'm hoping this one is a bit more, let's say, energetic. I don't mind the country. I just hope it's a bit more, I don't know, a bit more engaging, let's say. Yeah. But it should make for a night. Wherever they put this in the lineup in the six, it'll stand out for sure, at least.
Yeah. All right. I mean, we've said everything about this heat. Again, Mons is kind of spoiling the fun.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it would be a very, you know, diverse heat. The bigger question is who will be the second place in this heat.
Do you think Tennessee Tears will get it?
I mean, it's possible. But also, you know, if Ella has, like, the Lurian power behind her, you never know. And I think, you know, Kai, I think Bara Bara Bastu is, you know, the catchiest title we have in this entire lineup, so.
There is, and there's always one kind of kitschy, cliche Swedish act that gets through to the final every year as well. Although I think that one might be coming up in the next heat.
Yes, so let's get right there. The last heat in Jönköping. We will have Saga Ludvigsson with Hate You So Much.
Love the title.
Yeah, relatable. And again, she looks very young too.
She is, and I couldn't find a thing on her other than her Instagram, which I couldn't really... You know, it's hard to ascertain from a few pictures what a person is like, what their background is, but... Another one of these very young, and maybe that was one of their goals this year when they sat down and decided what they like, who they would take. Maybe they set a quota, or maybe they're trying. Maybe SVT is trying to bring in more young talent, grow the youth, you know, in the contest, which you know appears to be what they're doing. So if that was one of their goals, they've certainly done that, and it keeps us guessing because we really don't know what to expect from them in all these debuts.
Then we have Wilhelm Buchhaus with I'm Yours.
Another very young artist.
Yeah, I don't know if this is me, but like in this lineup, in this semi, he looks like he's gonna be number two in the running order.
Yeah, you never know. He he actually did Lilla Melody Festival in 2014.
Oh.
I don't know if Sweden was in junior back. I don't know much about junior Eurovision, but so he's got a little bit of experience in this. He's a self-taught musician, writer. So his personal bio says that he's able to put feelings and personal experience into words, and that demonstrates his incredible talent as a writer and artist. And to that I say, we will be the judge of that.
Yes. Then we have Victoria Silvstedt with Love It.
Love It, love her. I'm blown away by her resume.
Yeah, I already know what this song is going to sound like. I'm just looking at the songwriters, Thomas Gerson and Jimmy Jansson. It's going to be very Schlager pop.
Yeah, like... trashy. Like, oh my god, the song, oh, Steps did the cover from Alcazar, the woman from Alcazar a few years ago.
The Victoria's. One from Alcazar. Blame it on the disco.
No. The when that, what's her name? She hosted Melfest that year too.
Lena Hedlund.
Lena, yes.
Yeah.
I'm kind of getting vibes like this. So I love this woman.
Yeah.
So Victoria, she's, you know, she's 50. It is what it is. So she's a fashionista. She's a fashion model. She's a fashion blogger. She's done acting. She's done singing on and off. She hasn't done any professional singing since 2010. And 2010 was 10 years... It was only a promo at that point, and that was 10 years after her previous singles had been released. So she hasn't really done a lot of singing since the late 90s.
Mm-hmm.
Although she did do Masked Singer in 2021 in Sweden, where she was the Ice Wolf. If you watched that, I don't know.
Of course.
Sounds incredible. But she's also a former Playboy Playmate. She was Playmate of the Month in December 1996. And she popped up in France in the mid-2000s as their Vanna White. So she was the one turning the letters on the Wheel of Fortune in France. I found a few clips because I was intrigued. At no point did I see her speak French, so I don't know if she actually knows the language or not, but she can certainly turn those letters. So I can't wait for you. Yeah, I can't wait to see what this turns out to be.
Yeah, that's interesting, you know. You don't only have the very young newcomers. Yeah, but the next one is another one of those. It's Arvin with This Dream of Mine. Again with Jimmy Joker among the songwriters, and he looks very young too. I kind of don't know if they did this on purpose. You know, this very, it's like three very young performers in a lineup of six.
Two artists that are older. So I guess it all averages out, but
yeah.
For now, for Arvin, yeah, he's currently 16. He'll be 17 for Melfest. He's the youngest of the 30. He's a baby.
Yeah.
And his bio says, and you know he's young when the bio says that his music career took off in the autumn of 2023.
I mean, better than nothing, you know? At least it took off already. That's good. So glad that I came. Cause even when you're playing games, I'd rather die as every time. Put gasoline into the flame. Then we have the two last ones, and these are, for me personally, the two in the whole lineup I'm most excited about. Let's start with Arvin Ganna and Ring Baby Ring. I'm not sure.
Which I think will be in Swedish.
Yeah, I'm not sure, actually.
I'm sure.
We have Thomas Giason again. And I love
so
them.
So it's funny, you know? they won their first ever appearance at Metalfest in 93. They won. And they came back 95, 99, 02, 2019, 2021. Of course, they haven't won again, but they're certainly fan favorites, and I can't wait to see what they bring this year.
Yeah, me neither. I'm really excited. And then the last one is sort of, I don't even want to say Dark Horse because the fans have always loved this, but Scarlett are back, and they are third in the betting odds right now after Måns and Jon Lundvik. And yeah, maybe this would be such a cool choice for Sweden, just this group, you know, in general. This, no matter of the song they're choosing. The song is called Sweden Psycho. And we have Jimmy Joker and some familiar names among the songwriters. But it's interesting, I think in this lineup, either Arvin Ganna or Scarlett would win for sure. And both of these are, like, you know, among the best bands we have in Melody Festival, in my opinion. So I'm really looking forward to this.
Yeah, and of course, they were in it last year with Circus X. And fans were shocked, I think, last year when they weren't top two.
Yeah.
And like you alluded to earlier, they kind of got screwed over by that voting sequence that happened after the fifth heat last year. And possibly as a result of what happened to Scarlett, Melfest has responded. They have reacted. So these five heats that we just went over, all these 30 acts, 10 of them will move on. So two per heat. So that gives us the 10. The 11th act this year will be determined by whichever of the third places. So whichever of the five third places, oh my god, too much math. Whichever of the five third places got the most votes will get the 11th spot in the final. And then the remaining four third places, there will be a vote, a final qualification, a final kvalit, will happen immediately after Heat 5 for those four. And then whoever gets the most votes of those four will get the 12th and final spot in the final. In, I can't believe it's not Friends Arena, in Strawberry Arena in Stockholm on the 8th of March.
That sounds like a parody in Strawberry Arena.
It's just so classic. Like, it's Friends Arena. It's what it is. How about it be Strawberry Arena?
Ugh. Yeah, but I think, you know, it sounds very confusing right now if you explain this to the average Melody Festival and watcher. Who only cares about it, you know, when it's on. I don't know if they're... Maybe, you know, when they present it, it's going to make more sense. Because usually Sweden, except for last year, usually they know what they're doing. But
See, I'm torn. Because on the one thing, yes, like, the show should evolve. If it stayed the same every year, nothing ever changed. It would get stale, and that's no good either. But there was something about the Andra Juanson, that show. And I know within that show, they did tweak it over the years between... Sometimes there were duels, so they would pair the songs up. And sometimes it was just a free-for-all. They would just vote on all the songs that qualified to the Andra Juanson. But there was just something about that show. And now that that's gone for another heat, like this ending Heat 5 quickly to do a recap of all the third places, it just, I don't know, cheapens it a little bit. And of course, like what happened last year, there is a term in psychology called recency bias. So of course, the song that you just saw, and you're most familiar with, you're more likely to choose.
Of course.
So we'll see this year if the automatic third place winner, if they don't come from the fifth heat, if whoever finishes third from Heat 5 ends up getting that 12th spot, it's highly probable they will. And in Heat 5, you've got, like we said, Arvingana and Scarlett. It's almost wide open. You've got three very young acts who are very unknown, and then there will be Victoria left over as well. So of those four, one of them might squeak through to the final.
Yeah, I think Melodifestivalen is looking for the wrong, you know, directions if they want to change. You know, I think the voting system was never the problem. I think, you know, the way the songs are selected to go into the competition, you know, to always have these internal names, you know, and these already familiar songwriters especially, but also singers, is just, you know, getting boring after a few years. You know, we've had this now for so many years, and the songs could be interchangeable in almost all the years. So yeah, let's hope for better songs. And again, we've judged this whole lineup without having heard any of the songs, of course. But yeah, overall, I'm excited, but at the same time, I'm just thinking, okay, please don't let Mons win. Not because I'm, you know, a Mons hater, but I would just like some new faces in Eurovision.
Yeah, and there's some comfort in the familiarity. Like, it's nice if you recognize someone who's been at Eurovision before or Melfest before, I get it. But there's so much of that this year in the artists and in the songwriters. I think there were only two or three that were a debut artist and we had new songwriters.
Yeah, that's insane. Among 30 acts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So maybe going forward, that's something they could look at. I doubt they're listening to our podcast, but if they are, maybe make that your focus for 2026. You got all the young people in this year. You've met your quota. Maybe next year, try and get up to 10 brand new, like completely virgin, everything. And we'll see what happens. Maybe that's pick it. One of them to go to Eurovision.
Yes. That's it. All right. This was, of course, only our opinion. Let us know what you think. And if you completely disagree with us, then bomb us on our social media profiles. We're at Building Bridges Pod pretty much everywhere. You will find our latest episodes and all of our Eurovision news on buildingbridgespod.com. And tune in next time again when we're building a bridge to all the Eurovision countries.
Yes, every single one of them. And we're fully international final season now. So we've got Albania coming up next with Fick. It's going to be Fickmas. We've got Supernova starting. We've got... Gosh, what else? Well, Melfest, we're reaching out to artists. We've got Sebi. We've been so busy with the email. Where else are we going? What other interviews can we expect? Belgium. There's lots from Belgium too. So, lots of interviews coming. So yeah, stay tuned.
Hey, Dora.